Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
The Bears beat Arizona if my friend Doc just texted me, heard the tease. If the Cardinals bus breaks down on the way to Soldier Field, take that.
All right, that's no way to start the morning. All right.
Honest.
Hey, that's fine, but wait until Duck hears our breakdown first. Then maybe he might change his opinion. That's why we're on for 3 hours.
That's it.
Keep your beak out of it. Keep your bill out of it, Duck.
Yeah, keep your negativity out of it, Duck.
Yeah, keep your bill out of it.
That's it.
How about that?
How about that? Good morning and welcome in to Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. That is the question Hoodie and I are asking you at 312-332-3776. The Bears win on Sunday over the Arizona Cardinals if I think you've got to run the football incredibly well, and then you cannot turn the ball over at all. And defensively, you have to fence in Kyler Murray if he's indeed ready to roll, and it looks like he will be, because if he gets out on the edge and you have no Roquan Smith, you got big problems.
Well, let's take a look at it from this standpoint. After a victory, after the Bears broke their losing streak and they defeated the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving, there's some things that were still left on the field that the Bears should have done, Cap. So one of them is what you start off with, is running the football. Mm-hmm. The hallmark of the Bears' offense is them running the football. As archaic as that could sound, especially in a vertical passing league, this is where we are with the Bears. Their biggest thing is that Montgomery runs the football well. And so for collectively the Bears to run the football and only have 68 yards and 29 carries, it's like, wow, that's all you could do against the Lions' front? That's got to get better against Arizona, because time of possession and holding on to the football by running it, giving Dalton time to be able to get the offense moving in the right direction, there's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't think they committed to the run enough in the first half. Mellor, when you watched that Thanksgiving game, didn't you feel like run the GD ball in the first half? What David Montgomery have? Maybe seven carries? Maybe? Yeah.
And then it ended up with 17 for 46 for the game.
Yeah, they didn't establish the run. That's what bothered me.
I mean, it's who you are, and then all of a sudden you get away from it. Again, it wasn't that the Bears were awful, but you do look at it, Cap, and say, oh, 317 yards and a touchdown for Dalton, that's great, but you still only scored 16 points.
Against the Lions.
Against a winless team that can't get out of their own way.
Correct.
Hopefully that will improve, but stick to your strengths, man. Here's what we've seen so far, right, over the last few games. We've seen that the Bears have been able to do well by running the football, that Mooney has been established at this point as the number one receiver, with Robinson being out. Robinson playing Sunday?
Would you if you were him?
Well, I mean, listen, I always look at it from this standpoint. No matter the circumstances that you're in, you have to be able to put on good tape for the next team. Other teams know what you can do, but you want to be able to come across as a model citizen for the next team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at because everyone's got a file. Like, how was Robinson knowing that the team was 4-7? Was he still a good teammate? Thumbs up. Was he still good? Oh, he was? Well, you know what? He could be a real fine for our team. So don't be an a-hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that at the end, knowing that things aren't going well, because he's had every opportunity to bitch and complain, and he has not.
He has not.
You notice
his agent's gone dark on social media.
That's right. That's right.
And his podcast host.
That's right.
Both guys have been silenced by Allen.
You know why? Because you don't want to take money off the table by you being frustrated. Just let it go.
Correct.
It's just, you only got a few games
left.
You're
going to get paid either way.
A few more games left, and then you could take off the uniform and go to someplace else.
There you go.
So yes, he should, if he can play, he should play for the next team, right? So they could see, boy, you know, for a guy that didn't have a lot of catches, a lot of touchdowns as a number one wide receiver, he really was a good teammate. That's in the scouting report, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
As someone that has scouted talent for a long time, I'm sure that would be on your yellow pad, right?
Yeah, what kind of a guy is he?
That's right.
Now, he comes in, like, we can get to this about Marcus Stroman later, because I talked to one of the Mets announcers. But Marcus Stroman rolls in with a rep where there are people that question him as how he deals with the media, and at times is he a malcontent. Like, Allen Robinson comes in as a model guy from his time at Penn State to Jacksonville to here. Like,
yeah,
even if he was out, people are like, yeah, but that's not his rep. Maybe he really was hurt. Maybe it's just a bad situation. Because he's a great, great person.
That's right. So for anybody who can complain, it's him. Because as we talk about almost every day, Cap, when we talk about the Bears, we can watch all these games on the Red Zone or some of these Thursday night games. You say, boy, look at these explosive splash plays offensively where wide receiver one is getting the job done. Mm-hmm. Big, deep threats, right? Robinson, not that guy.
Okay, so I watched a lot of that game last night. I watched hockey. Mm-hmm. I watched basketball. The Knicks-Bulls rivalry was great. Hawks won their first game in D.C. since 2006.
Didn't have enough screens for UIC Oakland, though.
I had UIC Oakland on ESPN Plus on my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Saw you. It was interesting to watch. You had a very nice young lady on the sidelines, and then you and Kenny. Yeah. It was unfortunate UIC couldn't pull that out at the end.
It was not. It was very sad that they could not get it done.
But I was watching all these different events, and I'm flipping around. I'm watching Thursday Night Football. Yes, our offense sucks. There's no doubt about it.
Sure.
Dallas looks awful. I don't know what happened to Dak Prescott. That's his third straight game with a QBR under 50. He was throwing balls into the ground. He's missing receivers by a mile. Like, you're busy doing the game. Jeff, did you watch Thursday Night Football?
I did. I watched all of it.
Dak Prescott looked like worse than Mitch last night. He's sailing balls out of bounds with receivers open on third and four.
It left a lot to be desired, for sure.
And Taysom Hill sucks as a quarterback.
All right.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my God.
I think we've all been on that bandwagon. Sean Payton seems to be the only man in the world who supports Taysom Hill. Find someone who looks at you the way Sean Payton looks at Taysom Hill, right?
Because he's paying him big money.
Yeah, no, Dak was up. But listen, I mean, you're right. Something's up with the Cowboys right now.
Awful.
But Michael Gallup makes a ridiculous catch to help Dak Prescott out.
How about the run by Pollard, 58-yard touchdown?
Sure, that was a bad angle by the Saints player. But CeeDee Lamb, too, he's a beast. And Amari Cooper just making a couple plays coming back from COVID. I mean, even if Dak doesn't look good right now, I think they have the pieces to make a decent run in the playoffs.
We are going to say at some point, it's not going to be this year, but Jeff, there's going to be a time in the next few years where we look at CeeDee Lamb as the best wide receiver one in the NFL.
He's got the potential. He's really good.
Number one receiver in the whole league.
At some point. I think he's that good. I think he's that talented.
He's got that. I think, Hoodie, I agree with you. He's got that talent. I don't know if he'll make it that high, because that's lofty praise, but he certainly could be. I'll agree with you.
He's very, very good. Davante Adams for me is...
No, I understand. I said in the future. Like, Davante Adams today.
How old is Davante Adams? He's got to be in his 20s.
Got to be in his 20s. I think a lot of these athletes we talk about today are in their 20s.
I agree.
Allen Robinson's what, 31?
Yeah, I think I was talking about some of these like the next level guys. Like that, when I say that about CeeDee Lamb,
Adams is 28.
When I say that about CeeDee Lamb, it's me putting money on a future stock.
Okay,
that's pretty much what
I gave you. CeeDee Lamb or DK Metcalf?
I'll take CeeDee Lamb in this offense, and I don't see Prescott being like going backwards like Russell Wilson necessarily. I just think,
that's another guy that doesn't look good.
You know what I was going to do? I was going to pull the trigger on you and say, you know, Cap, it was just a short week for the Cowboys, realizing that they play back-to-back Thursday games.
Right.
So I couldn't pull that trigger up. Well, you know, very tough. You know, the Sunday, Thursday, like, wait a minute, they play Thanksgiving.
Correct.
And lost against
so
the Raiders.
A full week.
Right, exactly. Correct. So I can't use that one on you.
I don't see them making a deep run, Jeff. I don't. They just don't. Something's off.
I'm not saying that. I think they have, if Dak gets right,
yes,
they have the makings of a team that could, in the, you know, like, I'd roll with the Cowboys over the Rams right now. Like,
well, look at it from this standpoint, okay? So, you know, we talk about Dak Prescott. If Prescott doesn't have it, you would think that, okay, the running game would kick in. What happened to Zeke? What's that?
He looks terrible.
What happened there?
He had one run. They go, oh, that's the best run of the night. It was like a 9-yard run. That's big freaking deal.
That's a win for Yurko and Carmen. When Tony Pollard has more rushing yards than Ezekiel Elliott. What happened there?
Tony Pollard going down that sideline. I was like, I haven't seen a human being run that fast since a long time. Maybe Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. And you're right, Jeff. He did take a bad angle, and Pollard beat him to the pylon, but he was like a blur going down the field.
But we're talking about players that can make a difference, and then there's the Bears Cardinals.
Correct.
That's a difference there. And just one other thing about Taysom Hill. So, okay, you know, for the money that he's making, actually it works, Cap. He's not overpaid. He's not overrated. He's just a slash player, right? He may not be a good quarterback, but he's a hell of a – he can run the football. He can be a tight end. He can be a kick returner. He can pop the popcorn. He can sell the tickets. He does all that. So for the money, they're like, well, we could use him in a lot of different ways. Like if their starting quarterback usually in that spot is available
– Winston, healthy.
Yeah, then he would be the guy, right? Would you rather have Taysom Hill or Trevor Siemian? That's another choice.
So,
hello.
Still take Hill, but you know what? You hit on my comp, Hoodie, without even... I think you may have done it, but...
What happened?
Taysom Hill is the modern-day Cordell Stewart. He is the... Like he can run. Yeah. He's explosive in the run game.
Good player.
And he can...
At that.
Fake like he's passing from time to time, but you can't have him drop back and be your starting quarterback.
Yeah, I just don't want to mess my quarterback. In a full, exactly.
What do you think, though? Modern-day...
Yeah.
Cordell Stewart. Cross-race comp. What do you think?
Well, you know what? That's rare, by the way. That's rare. Let me tell you, this Lamar Jackson, he reminds me of a Randall Cunningham. Wait a minute. Not Steve Young?
You're right.
Right. Hang on a second.
312-332-3776. Fill in the blank for us, Bears fans. The Bears beat the Cardinals Sunday if... 312-332-3776. And when we had Keyshawn on Wednesday...
That's correct.
He was unaware of the Fire Matt Nagy chants that are like at Hawks games, Bulls games, Illinois, Notre Dame basketball game. Do you think the Chicago crowd goes all Fire Matt Nagy and it gets more national attention? Does it turn up the heat because all of a sudden the whole country will be like, oh, because they haven't seen it since that became a thing because the Bears were on the road? Your thoughts, 312-332-3776. And look what I got.
Yeah, what's that?
Cash.
Ah, from the strip club last night. Some
I got dollar bills.
Why does it have baby oil all over it? That's odd.
Shh, don't tell my wife.
Sorry.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll be right back.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So fill in the blank, Bears fans. The Bears beat the Cardinals Sunday. If what happens?
Now, I would say running the football.
Spike their water?
I'd also say, no, I mean, it's the NFL. You never know what can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could be inspired, the Bears, and be able to win this thing. I've seen this as 7.5 points up to 8 in some spots where the Bears are about an 8-point underdog. Again, it's the NFL. Anything could happen. I love Keyshawn Johnson, by the way, with his 1990s metric of what's the weather?
Yeah.
How cold will it be? Dome team. Like, dude.
Stop.
Yeah, like, talent travels. Doesn't matter where
it is. It's different. Not like there used to be this thing. Make sure if you have a West Coast team playing in the Eastern time zone at noon, bet them because their body clock's at 9. That stuff is so overrated now. Guys have special gear they sleep in. Some sleep in oxygen tents.
Yeah.
They've got sleep coaches. Like, it's totally different than when Yurko was playing.
Yes, this is not, it's under 32 degrees, you could beat Tampa.
Just remember.
Remember that old thing?
Yeah, exactly. Like, not anymore.
If it's below freezing, Tampa loses the game.
Their quarterback won 6 Super Bowls playing in cold weather.
But I'll ask this, Cap. Let me throw this out here because, okay, so we're asking for you to fill in the blank as a Bears fan about this, right? This upcoming game on Sunday. So one of the narratives that we've pushed on this show is trying to determine why do you keep watching the Bears, and that we just want to see the development of Justin Fields. We say this, like all of our callers, you and I, Danny, mm-hmm. Jeff, we've all said, man, it's really about the development of Justin Fields. You know you're going in the wrong direction. You're 4-7. Some graphics on TV will say Bears still in the hunt, and say that very carefully, in the hunt. And so I would say that, yeah, you know, it's about Justin Fields, but he's not playing. So why do you watch Sunday now? If it's about the development of Justin Fields, and some of our fans have said, hey, Cap, Jay Hood, I don't care if they win or lose. I just want this kid to get better, right? Because they know this is not a playoff team, and it's a team that's not going to get to the Super Bowl. So the number one reason why you watch is because of number one.
Okay, so would you play him?
But he's not playing. So what is the hook for you?
Okay, if he walks in this morning and you're the head coach. Coach, you know what? I tried the Kevlar vest yesterday after practice, and it protects me. I'm good. I can go. You playing him?
If he's healthy, sure. If he wants to play. I'd rather for him to be able to be healthy enough to help the team.
What is the point, though?
Don't be a gamer, though. But it's Justin, right? He's the only one that can really tell you, right? You look at x-rays, and they can see the throws. I'm sure it looks the same, you know, even with the vest. But you know that he's a gamer and he wants to be out there to prove something. He wants good tape to look at in the offseason.
I'm the guy who always says football players play, basketball players play. If they're ready to go, they play.
Right.
In this case, where I believe massive change is coming to the organization, he's going to have a new system he has to learn. I need him up to speed and ready to go health-wise. Hey, man, here's your new coach, whoever it is. And here's the new system. Guess what? I need you learning, working with your receivers, doing whatever it is. You know how they all go like to Hawaii together and they have a passing camp or whatever. Brady does it in Montana. Mm-hmm. I need you healthy, not rehabbing from an injury because Chandler Jones sacked you 6 times. I probably wouldn't play him.
If he's healthy enough to play, you know he's going to say, I'm ready to go. Now, it all depends on Matt Nagy, because Nagy would prefer this scenario. He wants the veteran in there to preserve the rookie. That was the plan the entire time until he was told not to. See, if it wasn't for Andy's injury, Andy would have the majority of the snaps, I believe, this season. Because that's the way Matt wanted it, until he was told to change it. Remember the press conferences. Justin's not ready to play. You know, well, we'll let you know when he's ready to play. He's still going through some hurdles, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden he's thrown in there against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes a starter full stop.
Well,
that's not good. So I'll flip it on you. Would you say the same thing about Tevin Jenkins, right? Would you want to play him? Now, you don't want you think that Justin shouldn't play.
Well,
but what about Tevin Jenkins?
I'd play him if he's been medically cleared, which he has. There's a difference. Justin has cracked ribs. Tevin Jenkins, again, Justin's my future. Yeah, Tevin Jenkins is a future piece, but he's not Justin Fields. A. B, he's been cleared. He's 100%. He had his surgery 3 months ago. He's good to go. So if he's healthy, yeah, put him out there.
Just remember, you said in August, the number one guy that matters on this football team is Tevin Jenkins.
Was for this year.
For this year. That's right.
Because at the time I said that, it was he's our starting left tackle,
mm-hmm.
and Justin Fields is not the starting quarterback. In the end, Justin became the number one guy because he started. So, yeah, absolutely he's a big piece of the future. If you have to go find a left tackle, those don't grow on trees.
Well, Cap, as you said before, you know, football players just want to play. Right?
Correct.
Now, as a head coach, just like Nagy did with Andy, you could put Justin on ice. You can if you want to. Like, yeah, you don't have to play.
You're done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could say that, but you know that he wants to play.
Correct.
Because he's a gamer. He wants to show. He wants to lead, right? He knows he's the future. But to your point, you're saying, well, where are you going, right? Let Andy just finish out the string and then be done with this.
Correct.
And that's actually what Nagy wants to do, too. Nagy knows he's more than likely going to be gone at the end of the season.
Right.
So just do it the way you want to do it. What are they going to do, fire you? And if they fire you, you got your money. No big deal. Correct. The way you want to do it. Well, just be the head coach of the team.
Like, I don't see a scenario where Matt can save this. Do you?
No. Nope.
Like if he
can't save it, and he didn't have enough talent to do it.
Like, there's no possible way in my world that we're going to hear this again on a press conference or a Zoom.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
He can't do that again. He can't.
I got you.
There is zero chance he and Ted could sit up there and go, yeah, we know fans are upset, but we're going to stick with what we've got. No chance.
But what if, though? There's always that what if, right? Well, it was a down year, and they went to the playoffs 2 years before, so we'll run it back again. What if, right?
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Whatever happens, it goes through me.
Yeah.
No chance.
Like bleep through a goose. Goes right through you.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no chance. Because, again, if he beats Arizona and he beats, who they got? Arizona, Green Bay on Sunday Night Football.
No shot there.
Two Minnesotas is four. Seattle and the Giants. Those are your six games.
I beg Peacock to flex out of that. I said, can you just make a call to New York and just flex out of that Bear Packer game
in
NBC?
Said no.
It's like, I don't want to see that. As good as the Packers have been, I've seen that movie way too much. I know how that ends. I know how that movie ends with the Bears getting their ass kicked by the Packers.
Okay, we'll get to these phone calls. Let me just tell you one thing. I did a lot of pondering yesterday.
Oh.
As I was driving around listening to the afternoon show and
Waddle and Sylvie.
Yes. And I was listening to those guys talk about this. Like, is it a good job? Is it not a good job? Mm-hmm. Who would take the job? Is George and Ted an impediment?
Yep.
And then I called a friend of mine who's a football agent. He actually is football and baseball. So we were talking about the lockout and all. He's like, dude, they will be lined up like planes at O'Hare to get the Bear job. It's the Bear job. But after all of that, they either have to get incredibly lucky and pick the right coordinator. Like, I'm watching last night, Kellen Moore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they get away from the run, and Troy Aikman's like, I don't know what he's doing. And then Dan Quinn went over and whispered something to him, and all of a sudden they're running the football again. I don't want Kellen Moore. Another guy that doesn't know how to run the football and is too wedded to passing, and their offense looked lousy with a lot of good players. You have to hire someone with so much cachet, like Theo Epstein, like Bill Parcells. I don't mean him. He's long gone. But what he was, cachet, that walks in and goes, okay, I'll take your job. I will do it. I'll run the Bears. Get the F out of my way. I'm in charge, and what I say is the absolute law. And they say, okay, how much? Here's a check. Go fix it. Whoever that guy is, what if Mike Tomlin says, I want a fresh start. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
How much? I want that guy who is in charge at the podium and says, it's my way. That's it.
Well, you know, Claypool plays wide out, and I'll let him do that. I'll formulate the practice approach, and I think that division of labor is probably appropriate.
That's what I want. I want a guy in charge. Period.
No, I understand. There's very few of those guys left in the NFL, by the way.
Correct.
And then you have a few that try to do it that way, and they're losing.
You have to empower those guys.
Shout out to Joe Judge when I say that.
Right.
He's very, you know, forthright and very direct.
Mm-hmm.
But you're losing. That's hard to be that guy and not winning.
Agree. Let's go to Schaumburg. Beasley, what's up, Beasley?
Hey, good morning, guys. So the only way the Bears beat Arizona Cardinals, right, is if the Arizona Cardinals decide to stay in Arizona. That's the only reason why. Because the Bears are just the garbage underneath the garbage disposal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord.
So they're like the muck that's caught in the bottom of the disposal.
Pretty much. Like, they will not win another game this year, I guarantee. Because they are just hot tamales. You know what I mean?
Now, hold on a second.
Eat hot tamales.
No, you mean hot garbage. That's what you mean, Beasley, right? Hot garbage.
Well, yeah, I'm at hot garbage. You know, it's early, man. I just woke up.
Me too.
Give me a little pass.
Me too.
I'm sorry.
Me too. Hot tamales are good, though.
Beasley, have a good weekend, man.
You too, my friend.
All right, see you, kid.
All right, man. Hey, so Danny, are we taking calls from the CB apparently?
Listen, that Beasley called back three times to try to get a clearer line. That was the best of his three. And I like Beasley because he said that the Bears are playing like hot tamales.
Yeah.
And that's just great. I love a good hot tamale.
Pretty good.
Hey, man, everything's all good, baby. Everything's all good. Come back.
I asked him to record some. Listening to Cap and Jay Hoodliners for us also.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. My dad had an old CB. It's like, man, like the old ham radio. Yeah. Used to have one of those. Breaker, breaker, 1-9. And I'd get on there, breaker, breaker, what? Get off the CB. Oh, God.
Sorry.
There's truck drivers listening. Don't be playing with the CB. Sorry. I want to be Smokey and the Bandit. I want to be Ralph Cramden.
Fill in the blank for us. Bears fans. Bears beat the Cardinals Sunday if what? 312-332-3776. Your Bears call straight ahead. College football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is heating up and fans are hyped. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, the season of Saturdays, when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole-tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
One, two, three, three, two, three, seven, seven, six. Fill in the blank for us, Bears fans. The Bears beat the Cardinals Sunday if what? Andre is in Rockford, Illinois. Andre, what's going on, Sparkles?
Oh, not much. Just driving this truck, trying to get up here to Wisconsin, which I hate.
Hey, do you live in Rockford?
No, sir. I live in Chicago.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
I just drive a truck, so I'm got a delivery up here.
Well, you know, be safe today, man. Got to get you back for next week.
Okay, here's what the Bears need to do to win. Something that Matt Nagy has not been doing the past 2 years that he did the first year, which is a lot of gimmicks and trick plays. Laser calls regular plays. Nagy can still call plays, but call the gimmicks and trick plays, and you can win this. You can win the game. Do fake blitz, like you're going to blitz and don't blitz. Do fake blitz. Trick plays will win games that Nagy did the first year, but he hasn't been doing the second or third year.
Let's address that, Andre. We appreciate the phone call.
And Andre, just you're talking about like when they ran Santa's sleigh or some of these other things that were really cool and fun.
Yeah, the first year. You remember that. He did a lot of that stuff the first year.
He did?
He didn't do them. This year, he's not doing them either. But getting back to the Bears' new head coach, I want to talk about that also. Mm. Byron Leftwich, a young team, young quarterback, a young coach.
That's a valid name and certainly a guy that they should talk to. Thanks, Andre. Keep the rig on the road, kid. Appreciate you. Byron Leftwich, that's a topic for a different time, but he has a great reputation. Tom Brady has spoken very eloquently about how much he enjoys their relationship. Josh McDaniels, another name that'll be out there. I watched the Dallas offense last night, and it just doesn't look good. But what concerned me, Troy Aikman's going, run the ball. What are you doing?
Well, we don't run the football. That's what it looks like, right? I know it's a vertical passing league, but I think that there's enough diversity within that offense to be able to run the football and throw it down the field. We know Dak has the chops to do that. It just looked very average, sometimes below average from the Cowboys last night.
Correct.
Based on the numbers. The first year of Nagy, my thought on that is he looked at that offense, looked at Trubisky and said, you know what, I'm going to implement a little fun here because I don't think that I think you and I could say it now on the record, right? Can we say it on the record now? Because I don't think that – I just don't think that Matt thought much of Trubisky from the beginning. Like, you know why? Because it was a culture shock, right? You come from Kansas City in this dynamic quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, and it's like, oh, God, now I got to teach now. It's not as easy as just calling the plays on the Denny's menu and be like, just press the button, and all of a sudden Mahomes explodes for touchdowns and offense, right? I don't think that he was a Trubisky fan from the beginning, and that's why he was able to have...
So why did he take the job?
Oh, well, I mean, things work out.
He could have had the Colts job. He had three or four teams that were interviewing him.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get into the job thinking that, okay, I can mold and shape Trubisky into something, and it was kind of a ceiling on the success. The way I look at it is that they both weren't good for each other, Trubisky and Nagy. I don't blame one or the other. I just think that it just didn't work out. The type of plays that Nagy wanted to run, and then Trubisky and his lack of development or prowess, it just didn't work.
So that's a fine, by
so,
the way.
It's no fine.
Oh.
What fine?
The frog that's been croaking in your throat.
Difference is, pal, I'm powering through. That is the difference. You know why? Powerful. 30 years of experience. You power through. I don't just start coughing and hacking with the open mic. There's a difference, right, Danny? Danny,
difference. 100% difference.
Powering
Cap.
Through.
My powering God.
But nice,
through.
But nice try. So
to get a room.
You know what? We're going to get a room because we're making good points. And I'm not done with my point. 10 more seconds on this. So I believe, Cap, that there was a disconnect from the beginning. And so that's why we saw Santa Slay and all those crazy plays. That's what I thought. Yeah, I think it was covering up some things that weren't good about the offense. Then year two, year three, you could see it, right?
Really struggle.
That's all.
Really struggle. Eddie on the north side. What's up there, Edward? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Cap, offensive lines aren't the most important thing because quarterbacks make offensive lines. My point in case, before Brady got to Tampa Bay, they said that offensive line was horrible. They punched him in there, and then they win the Super Bowl. If you make decisions very quick in the pocket, you make offensive lines look great. Because when they have to hold a line, just like anything, even tug of war, you're going to get holding, you're going to get sacks, you're going to get everything. But that's case in point. But when Matt
hold
Nagy
on a second, Eddie, you did
coach,
Eddie, but, you did not. Please tell me the words did not come out of your mouth. Offensive lines are not that important.
They're important, but
they are maybe the most. Other than quarterback, line. They're the most vital part of your offensive football team.
But Cap, if you have a bad quarterback with a great offensive line, they are going to look horrible. Period. I don't care what you look at. Look at Deshaun Watson. Look at their offensive line now without him. They look horrible. Guy gets sacked like every other down.
It's because the quarterback holds the ball too long.
The other case in point I make, when Matt Nagy got hired, 8 other coaches got hired. None of them won Super Bowls, and none of them are going to win this year. They could keep Nagy, but go out and get the best offensive coordinator you can get, tag him in there, and leave him alone and let him take care of the offense.
Yeah, no shot. Hard pass,
Eddie.
I think
of the firing, the gone and gone since 85. It's just the same thing over and over and over.
Eddie, are you going
to have a great holiday?
Eddie, are you going to go see Wall and Sylvie today?
Yeah, I probably will. I got a tooth pulled the other day, so I'm not really,
That's all right. You know, put a beer after it. You have a beer, it'll numb the pain.
Beer and a shot, man.
Yeah, but antibiotics, you know, it doesn't work too well with alcohol.
I have an edible then.
Yeah. All right, guys. Have a great day.
See you, Addy. Have a good time there today, buddy. 312-332-3776.
Crazy.
Let's go downtown. Dean.
I learned today offensive line don't matter.
That's unbelievable. Dino, what's up, Sparkles?
What's up, guys? I watched the Bulls game last night, Hoodie. You know what I was thinking to myself?
What's that?
I said, bing, bong. Hey, y'all, if you see these dogs in your front yard, just know that I'm going hard.
Dean's
no,
so
no.
Yes.
Eddie from the north side. Come on, my guy. The night they drafted Clifton Wirfs, I said to myself, I says, well, that's it, boys. Let's factor in. That's a wrap.
Thank you, Hank.
Kellen Moore, Cap, you mentioned him, and I've been keeping an eye on him. I've been thinking to myself the same thing. This kid does not run the ball enough. he's like so excited to run his offense because he's too smart for his own good. And he has Dak Prescott. He sees the legs. He sees the arm and the athleticism, all the stuff that he wasn't. And it's like he has a new toy. So the I like Ryan Day. My question to you guys is, what do you think of Byron Leftwich if we don't get Ryan Day? I really like him. I like what he's done with Tom Brady. Is it all the talent and Tom Brady, or is it a testament to Byron Leftwich? And the last thing before I hang up, I wanted to give a shout-out to Mason Richmond for his reaction when being gifted Randy Merkin's book for Chinooka, as Smokey Robinson likes to call it.
Thank you very much.
That was a great one. We have that in the system, Mallor, somewhere. Chinooka.
I just want to say, happy Chinooka. Yeah. I don't know what Chinooka is, but...
Happy Chinooka.
There you go.
There it is. That's the best.
You know what I like about that is that Smokey says it with a smile on his face. He actually did not know.
No clue.
Yeah. But
Happy Chinooka.
But he said it with
and
a smile.
Enjoy Chinooka.
Yeah. So, but he said it with a smile on his face, though. There's a smile there, right?
Happy
so
Chinooka.
I blame my people hoodie for that because we can't figure out if we spell it with an H or a CH.
Okay. It's funny. Which, my wife
throws
when we started
everybody
dating,
off.
Because my wife is Methodist and she's Greek. And she said, I'm giving your mom a holiday card, and obviously your mom's Jewish. Do I spell it C-H or H? I'm like, are there two K's or one? Because it's spelled like...
We can't figure out how to spell it.
We can't figure out how to spell.
And enjoy Chinooka.
We also can't figure out when it is. Because...
Well, that's like, just our random calendar
right,
that we
like,
follow.
Christmas is on the 25th.
That's right.
We had Chinooka last week. Like, we've been lighting the bulbs on the menorah. My wife's been doing it, if I'm not home, every day. It's over when? Sunday, Danny?
Yeah,
no, Monday.
Last night is Sunday.
It's Sunday.
So.
And I plug it in.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about lighting them up.
Chinooka.
Happy Chinooka.
Yeah.
It should be CH because it's a huh sound. Hanukkah.
Right. But I think they modernized it for Hallmark cards. That's why.
Correct.
I didn't want to. They did with the H on it.
Great. Now our holiday is a Hallmark holiday. Hallmark $6.99 for a card. Now you buy a card lately? I mean, cards used to be
that's
a buck and a quarter.
I make my own cards on the computer.
Oh, really? You're an 8-year old.
Yeah, pretty much.
What about the design on the front? Flowers.
I write a letter, and then I usually do clip art, like a picture of something important in the person's life. If I was going to do a card for you, I'd have Kirby Smart or something like that. I'd make a Georgia card for you.
The man that has a new piece of clothing on every day doesn't spend $6.99 on a card.
This is 5 years old.
Okay, Cap.
That's it.
I've been working with you for more than 5 years, never saw it. Yeah, brand new.
No, it's not brand new.
It's vest season.
Trust me, it's not.
Happy SEC Championship hoodie. I made you this Kirby Smart card.
That's exactly what I would
do. That's my guy.
Do that with my brother all the time.
That's awesome. Amazing you do that on the Royal typewriter at home.
Big college football weekend. Who has the most to lose? Hoodie answers that next.
White out. What?
Need gift ideas? The Holiday Gift Guide is something for everyone on your list at prices under $15, like a pair of Mechanics Wear black-coated winter gloves, a Power Torque two-piece magnetic tool holder bar, a Slime digital tire gauge, and much more. Check out the Holiday Gift Guide for great ideas at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on at 7:51, big college football weekend. And congrats to the University of Notre Dame. They have made it official this morning. Marcus Freeman has agreed to his deal.
That's right.
And what did I tell you? I said, okay, let's find out about loyalty and who the players want. Marcus Freeman was a perfect hire there. Perfect.
Talk to me in 3 years.
He's got his opportunity. He's been handed a Mercedes, and the Mercedes is tuned up and rolling.
What year?
Like a 2020.
Like 19.
Low mileage?
19. It's been sitting on the lot for a while.
That Mercedes is sweet. I'm not a fan, But that guy I like. I watched him. I saw the stuff on his family.
Yeah.
He's got this beautiful family. He just seems like a family guy and a great fit at the top of the program. And the players love this guy. Yeah. Guess what? That's really cool that a big-time job stepped up and said, we're going to reward loyalty and we're going to identify the next big thing instead of going out and stealing somebody else's guy. That guy.
Hopefully, the inexpensive hire will pay dividends for Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I read it, right?
Because he could have gone to LSU
right.
immediately.
Listen,
with Kelly,
I'm not
for big money.
I'm not casting any aspersions on Notre Dame. However, I think that this is a move that I think is smart for Swarbrick, because even if Marcus is a transitional coach or the staff is transitional, he could be able to really do some things with this team, right? Mm-hmm. Team leader, he could show what he can do. Notre Dame, I tell you what, it's a lofty goal now, because whatever you think of Brian Kelly, and we'll get into him a little bit later on, wherever you think of Brian Kelly, he is definitely in the top five, at the very least, of head coaches ever at the University of Notre Dame. No national championship? No, they have not been able to get that. But still, the program is very, very good. Very good.
But the game has changed in the time Brian was there from what it used to be. It just did. Like Notre Dame back in the day, it was just a different thing.
That's right. Tony Rice.
That's the last time they won the national title. Tony Rice at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Lou Holtz at head coach. And they got their pick of whoever they wanted.
So, again, we'll see what happens. Now, as far as this Big Ten, this not only the Big Ten, but not only them, not only Oregon and Utah tonight, not only Baylor and Oklahoma State, but it is a big college football weekend. Because there's so much on the line. As Glenn, I'm a Georgia fan. I'm on pins and needles for this game against Alabama. And everyone's saying, hey, even if you lose the game, it's okay. You're in the mix. That's not the point. The point is to be able to knock them out first, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Georgia beats Alabama on Saturday, it'll knock them out of the national championship picture.
Do you think Alabama's out automatically if they lose? Because what if they lose 13-7? It's like a dogfight.
I think the committee would like to push Alabama out. They have some new blood. But I'm never sure, right? Because even if Georgia beats Alabama, again, I would like for them to be knocked out. Of course, it's been such a long, long road for Georgia even get close to Alabama, right? But I'm thinking that if Georgia wins, then I think that they push Alabama out of the four.
Okay, so if they're out, let's assume Michigan beats Iowa.
What if Cincinnati, real quick, Hoodie, struggles against Houston?
But okay, wins, well,
they want to push Cincinnati out as quick as they can.
Well,
Cincinnati wins, but it's not a blowout. It's a game.
Well, Cap asked the question, who has the most to lose? It's them, right? Not just the AAC title on the line with the Bearcats and Houston Cougars.
And that's American Athletic Conference for people that don't know.
Thank you very much. They have Google. Cincinnati will be able to, I mean, again, you just didn't have to stick your beak into my point.
Okay.
You didn't have to stick your, you just couldn't help yourself, right? Let me get my point out, and then you can have it back. Just give me 30 seconds, you can take the rest of the show. Cincinnati is undefeated at this point in time. As I saw it recently, Cincinnati is a 10.5-point favorite in this game. It might be closer, as a matter of fact. I might even take Houston.
What's Houston's record?
Houston right now is 11-1, and they're very, very good.
I'm shocked the line's that big. I thought Houston was 11-1. That shocks me that the line's that big.
But I just think that if Cincinnati, if it's a close win or if they lose, out of the four.
Well, if they lose, they're out.
Out. But close win, also, I think they can look at it as, say, man, maybe not.
I don't see it. If Cincinnati wins, I don't care if it's 3-0, they're in.
I just think that the committee wants the best of the best. And a non-Power 5 team is not one of the best for me.
Okay, my best bet of the weekend, Georgia will cover the 6.5.
I'm hoping. I hope they win the game, too.
Okay, let's assume Georgia wins. We'll call it 24-14.
Okay.
Georgia's the one seed. Alabama's probably out because they'll have two losses. Let's assume Michigan finds a way to beat Iowa. Michigan's number two.
Michigan will win.
I think it's closer than that people think. I don't think it's a blowout.
The 11?
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Michigan wins. They're in. They're the 2 seed. Cincinnati wins. They're the 3 seed. the four seed then, if Alabama loses to Georgia, they're out. Who is the four seed? If Oklahoma State beats Baylor, they're in.
That's correct.
But if Oklahoma State loses to Baylor, and Baylor's playing a backup quarterback, by the way, if Baylor wins, is Notre Dame in?
Well, they lost to Cincinnati.
Correct.
That's the only blemish.
Correct. At home.
Mm-hmm. It'll come down to Notre Dame or to loss Alabama in that scenario that you just painted.
Who do you put in? Like, if Alabama battles Georgia, like, wow, they just came up a little short. They're just not as good as they were when Najee Harris and Tua and all those guys. But they lose tough, 24-20. Who goes, Alabama or Notre Dame?
Well, the committee looks at the strength of the conference and say, who are you, Notre Dame? Out.
Right.
Sorry. Sorry, Independence. You're out. That's what happens.
Right. So. You know?
And is that fair? No. But this is where we are right now.
So that's my question to you. What does Alabama get more credit because they're an SEC team?
Yes. And a Power 5 team.
Like, if they could be 31-10, I get it. They're out.
Yeah, and that's not happening. I think it's going to be tight. I think that Georgia can win the game. I'm hoping they can win the game. Will it happen? I don't know, because I haven't seen it in a long time. You understand my point of view, right?
Team.
I'm very nervous about this game.
312-332-3776. We'll get to Robert and Kevin and the rest of your calls. Shot, no shots in 2 minutes.
Take that.